take Chaucer's Canterbury Tales off the shelf, open it at random and read two pages. Then take Giovanni Boccaccio's Decameron off the shelf and read two pages. Again, open it at random, read two pages. I feel very confident in saying you will feel the difference between the North and the South, the culture of Northern Europe, the culture of Southern Europe. There is a certain greater freedom, openness, awareness of the world, willingness to accept slightly peculiar characters in some ways in Italy. There is perhaps a greater freedom. Now, reasons like that help us to provide context, help us to provide explanation, help us to understand. I don't really want to say these things caused the Italian Renaissance, but they do help us, I think, to understand why, though our expectations might have been that things would come from France, the Renaissance actually comes from Italy. Now, just to move the story on a pace or two, given that it began in Italy, how and why and when and in what circumstances did the Renaissance spread? Well, first of all, there were considerable numbers of Italians who traveled to the north. They were perfectly aware, many of these Italian scholars were, that in the cathedral libraries and monastery libraries of northern Europe, there were the manuscripts of the ancient authors. Remember, we talked about this in the Carolingian period, how they were copying and copying and copying ancient authors, how something like 90 to 95% of all classical Latin literature survives in manuscripts produced in the first place in the Carolingian period. So Italians traveled to the north looking for books. Sometimes they hired out as teachers. Sometimes they were kept around as sort of the ornament of this or that or the other royal or princely court. And they then began to spread what came to be called the new learning. By the late 15th century, certainly, considerable numbers of northerners began to travel to Italy. They began to visit Italy, they began to visit the sites, but they also began to study there. Scholars began to kind of make the grand tour of Italy. Painters soon began to follow. One of the interesting things, particularly from the late 15th and through the 16th century, is to go through northern European museums and see paintings by old Dutch painters, for example, of Italian scenes, or go through Italian museums and see the number of paintings by, for instance, Dutchmen hanging on the walls. So people began to travel also to Italy, and ideas spread. The development of printing made it possible for ideas to circulate much more quickly, much more cheaply, and much more efficiently than ever before. The Renaissance began as an urban phenomenon, as a communal phenomenon. And then very quickly, it became princely and courtly. In other words, it moved from the city to the court. It moved from an urban setting to a royal and princely setting. We'll see in our next lecture some examples of that process. And in the process of moving from city to court, Renaissance culture changed in some interesting ways. It moved from being largely an intellectual phenomenon with various kinds of connections to the liberal arts and to the cultures of classical antiquity, and a little bit more a fashionable civilité, a way of living, a way of effecting a certain kind of life, what the Italians would later come to call bella figura. Now, allowing for a little bit of correction at the edges, let's apply a rough chronology to the Renaissance. It's sort of period that we laid the background for in our previous lecture, have attempted to define in this one, and we'll detail by way of a series of Renaissance portraits in our next lecture. Down to about 1370, from the early 14th century down to about 1370, we see an age, in a sense, of individual geniuses, but very little that ties them together. It's hard then to see a movement. Then down to about the 1470s, so for nearly a century, we have the Florentine period. Here was the period when great things were done in Florence, great things were done by Florentines elsewhere, and great things were done by foreigners who came to Florence. Overlapping with that, beginning perhaps even as early as the 1440s, 1450s, we can begin to speak of the reception of the Renaissance. The Renaissance moved to Rome, to Milan, to Venice. By 1500, the Renaissance crossed the Alps, and the movement had become more decidedly courtly. So that's, in a way, how to think or how to unthink the Renaissance. To try to put some flesh and sinew on that rather abstract and semantic skeleton, we'll turn in our next lecture to a series of Renaissance portraits drawn from each of these three chronological periods that I've just mentioned.